With just 3 more days left at COP17 CMP7, there is still a lot that ministers, heads of states and parties still need to do in order for an outcome in Durban to be possible. Many have said that there must be a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol and the Green Climate Fund must be established. The European Union today called on China and the United States to stop playing the ping-pong blame game and agree on a deal by 2015. Corny Herdengard from the EU says they will be committing to a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. Herdengard added that even if countries will not sign the Kyoto, they must at least commit that they will sign some binding agreement in the future.
You know that we are here to deliver and decide. And many things I'll come back to them that is being discussed all the time, but just to say that, of course, also a lot of other things going on. We believe that the progress on the gap between the 2 degrees ambition and the current pledges is absolutely imperative to have here in Durban. Transparency, progress and finance. Just to say that sometimes during these days and nights when politicians meet, it's not there, the main discussion is, but this is definitely also very, very key issues and also key political issues that we think it's extremely important to make progress on. I noticed yesterday in President Suma's speech a very, very strong line. President Suma said we need to make a decision here in Durban that includes both the now and the future. And he continued on the now and immediate, we need to agree on the adoption of a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. For the future, parties need to pronounce on the legal nature of the outcome of the future multilateral rules-based system. I thought it was good progress that the President of South Africa clearly stated that the second commitment period and a roadmap that is interlinked. We are very happy that the South African presidency share our views on this now and on the future. We of course know that some big economies have signaled that they are not ready to take part in the now. Some even say they need more time to reflect. And we do not think the time has come to reflect more, and that is why the European Union has put a significant offer on the table. Even if other countries are not ready, we are ready to commit to the second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol, and we do this in order to preserve what it took us so many years to build up. But we must be reassured that others will join us in a new legally binding framework, and we must also, after the second commitment period, and we must also know when they will do that. And that is why we insist on linking these two things. I'm very happy to note the big support this kind of thinking is gaining. I just come from a meeting with some LDCs countries. It's very, very clearly in line with their thinking. And they very clearly understand that what Europe is trying to promote here, that is more ambition. Of course, we need more constructive dialogue and clarifications. We need that also from the big emitters. That is why we are having a lot of bilaterals right now. We need to know how far are they willing to go. We believe that the cost of buying time is rising, and that is why these last 2 days in Durban must be used to make progress here. My very final point is, we're still in this, we are very open to hear the reflections and the constructive contributions from the big emerging economies, but we should not be mistaken, there is not that many hours left, and we would very much encourage all big emitters to come forward a bit more on clarifying their real position.
Herdengard also emphasized exactly where the EU stands on the main issues discussed at the conference.
Well, it's always so in a negotiation that, of course, you would not sort of speculate in all sorts of scenarios, and if you have anything, you would give. I think that what you really ask is probably whether this link between the second commitment period and the roadmap, are we going to change that? And then the answer is no. And people really have to understand this. We're not doing that because of the European interest. Because we already have built our own legislation on Kyoto principles. We already have our reduction targets, we have our low carbon roadmap, 2050. We are moving on now, trying to see how we can move up in the 20s, no matter what comes out of Durban or any other international conference. So what we're trying to do is to secure that there still is a process looking for ambition here. If we said, okay, in the end, we just give a second commitment period, no matter what, we just do that. I must tell you what I think would happen. I think that the big ones who are reluctantly now even to talk about a roadmap for the future, I think they would lean back, relax for I do not know how many cops, and say, oh, we don't have to discuss this now because Europe is securing the second commitment period, and why should we discuss the future now? And if there's one thing we have learned from this process, then it is that everything takes longer than you and I and all of us together can imagine. So if we are coming too late in starting to discuss what comes after the second commitment period, then it will take forever until we get to the decisions the world needs. And that is why Europe says these things are interlinked. This crash and nothing comes out of Durban, we will continue our policies back home in Europe, built on human principles. So it's not changing that much for Europe, but it will change something for the world. And I tell you, the most vulnerable countries, the least developed countries, the real developing countries, they would really feel a change, because any hope that at some point the world's governments would come together and do what they said they would in Copenhagen, stay below the 2 degrees that the leaders said A, and now we need at least just to start to indicate we are ready to say B.
Conny Hedengaard also told the media about the difference between the United States and the EU concerning the different issues being debated at COP17 CMP7.
What is the difference between EU and the US? I think it's a big difference whether you have had increased emissions since 1990 or you have had decreased emissions since 1990. That's one big difference. I also think that there is this one very, very significant difference that we are part of Kyoto and we have built everything on Kyoto and we are willing to continue to do that. It's clear that there is one area where we have, if not identical because they are not, but similar wishes, and that is that in the world after 2020 at the latest, and if we should decide very much, we'd like to see it before that date, but there we must see all big emitters be part of an internationally binding regime. But there, of course, a very big difference also between EU and the United States is the United States do not want a binding deal, or it's to me a bit unclear what they really want. You can ask them, but I think there are differences in the way we see how important it is that countries are legally bound. You know, in the world history, normally when you have to solve big problems, then we, as our experience in Europe is, then it helps when you have a legal regime how actually to cope with that. It's as I just heard a colleague said, when Gorbachev and Reagan met in the White House in Reykjavik many years ago in order to solve the Cold War, I mean, they did not pledge voluntarily to take away their weapons. Of course, it was legally binding that that should be done. And that is the way, and that's the European tradition, that's the way we think that the international community best addresses things like that, things like this, challenges like this. And that is a very big difference, as far as I can see, from the US position.
Only 2 more days left from tomorrow, and we hope that some kind of agreement will be made here in Durban. I'm Lucinda Bull, reporting for Bush Radio at COP17 CMP7 in Durban.